Over the last couple of weeks, in our study of the book of Joel, we have noted how God's servant brought before the people of Judah the all-important matter of conversion. This was the great need amongst the people that Joel ministered to. These people, who had been so blessed and privileged to know the truth, had turned their backs on God. And in unbelief, they had rejected his word. They were a disobedient and rebellious people that were on a downward path of destruction and eternal ruin. These were the type of people, this was the type of people that Joel ministered to. Sinful, rebellious, unbelieving people. Therefore, they needed to be converted. They needed to have the problem of their sin dealt with. They needed to have their lives turned around. Which, of course, is what conversion means. It speaks about a turnaround. A complete turnaround in the life of an individual. This then is why Joel, after speaking to the people of Judah of their sinful state, and also of the horrific consequences of their sin, brings before them the glorious truth of how man in sin can be converted. Now he can have his sin blotted out. Joel preached this message because this was the message that these people needed to hear. This, of course, is the good news of the gospel. And it is not only a message that the people of Judah needed to hear in Joel's day, but it's also a message that all men need to hear. The Bible teaches us that man in his fallen state is blinded by the God of this world. In sin, he is in darkness. And there is none that understandeth, no, not one. Therefore, the only way men and women can be converted and brought to a saving knowledge of Christ is if the glorious light of the gospel shines into their blinded, darkened, and ignorant minds and hearts. This is why Joel preached the wonderful and life-changing message of salvation to the people of his generation, so they would come to know the truth and be converted and brought into God's family. And this is why we need to continually preach the message of conversion in this world of sin. Because without it, without the message of conversion, without the message of salvation, men are without hope, they're without Christ, they're perishing in their sin, and they will be eternally lost unless souls are converted through the gospel. Then there is no hope for men and women. However, as Joel declared to the people of Judah the great truth of conversion, we see in this passage that God, by his Spirit, takes him beyond the people of his day. God brought him beyond his own time to speak of a time in which many, many more people would be converted and brought into the kingdom of God. And this is really what we read of from verse 28 to verse 32 here in Joel 2, these words that we have just read this evening. Notice the opening words in verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward. It shall come to pass afterward. Note here Joel is now speaking about future events. That which takes place afterward. That is, after a certain period of time. God then, in these words, now takes Joel beyond his present circumstances, beyond the times in which he lived, beyond his ministry to the people of Judah, and he brings him to a time yet to come, a time yet future, a period of time after this period of time. And this is what God does here by his Spirit. Now this period of time, as Joel speaks of here, is referred to in God's word as the last days. The last days. We learn this from that passage we read earlier in Acts 2, where the Apostle Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, quoted this very passage here in Joel 2. Turn back with me again to that passage in Acts 2. Notice again what it says in Acts 2, between verses 14 and 17. Peter, of course, is speaking to these people in the day of Pentecost, and he says this in verse 14. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. What we learn here is the events which took place on the day of Pentecost were a fulfillment of that which Joel spoke of in Joel 2, verses 28 to 32. Some 800 years prior. And so what Joel is speaking of here in Joel chapter 2 wouldn't take place until 800 years had passed. And this is what God was doing here. He was revealing to his servant what was going to come afterwards, after 800 years. Yet what I want us to note here is how this period of time which Joel spoke of is described by Peter. Notice how Peter describes this period of time. In verses 16 and 17. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days. In the last days. It's made very clear here that the words of Joel in the last number of verses in Joel 2 refer to the last days. This then is what God by his Spirit revealed to him. What would take place in the last days. And that's a remarkable thing. Here we have Joel, a prophet in Judah, a relatively unknown prophet in Judah. And what does God reveal to this man? He reveals to him the things that are going to take place in the last days, not only 800 years later from his time, but right up to this very present time. Almost 3,000 years later. God here reveals these things to Joel about what is going to take place in the last days. Therefore, this evening, as we come to this portion of Scripture, the subject we are considering is simply the subject of the last days. Joel here draws our attention to three things about the last days. It is then these three things that I want us to focus upon this evening. The first thing I want us to note here, as Joel draws our attention to the last days, is the commencement of the last days. The commencement of it. And this is what we read of in verses 28 and 29 of Joel 2. See again what it says in those words. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Joel here foretells that the last days would commence with God's spirit being poured out upon Christ's people in a most abundant and remarkable way. And this is what he prophesies of here. This is what he speaks of here. The last days will commence with the great outpouring of God's spirit. I've already referred to how this is what happened on the day of Pentecost, as the apostles were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. The things that Joel prophesied of here were fulfilled in Pentecost, as God in a most miraculous and mighty way came upon his disciples by his Spirit. Some of those that were there that day and heard the disciples speak in a different language began to mock, saying, these men are full of new wine. In other words, they were saying, these men are drunk. And they're just blathering. They're just rambling on. And this is what people were saying about the apostles that day as the Holy Spirit came upon them. Listen, they're just blathering. They're rambling on there. It's mumble jumble. However, Peter answers these foolish slanders by pointing them to these words in the book of Joel. He points them directly to this very passage of Scripture. And he speaks of how the pouring out of God's Spirit upon all flesh was something that the Scriptures declared would happen. This then is how the last days commenced, by the Holy Spirit being poured out in the most extraordinary manner upon the people of God. Joel prophesied of this very thing, and this is exactly what happened. But what are we to learn from this? What is the significance of Joel pointing to the truth that the last days would commence with God's Spirit being poured out upon all flesh? What is the significance of this? What are we to learn from this? How are we to benefit from this? Well, notice with me two things about God pouring out His Spirit at the commencement of the last days in a very powerful manner. In the first place, we should note here the reason for the outpouring of God's Spirit. The reason for it. And this is clearly brought before us in verse 28. God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Notice here it speaks of the Spirit of God working in the lives of people in a threefold manner, or in three different ways. He would cause sons and daughters to prophesy, old men to dream dreams, and young men to see visions. And this is what would happen as the Spirit of God was poured out. There would be prophesying, there would be dreams, and there would be visions. Yet again we need to ask, what does this mean? What's all this about? What's the significance of this? Well, all three of these things, prophecies, dreams, and visions, have all one thing in common. They have all one thing in common. They are all methods by which God has revealed His truth to man. This is how God has revealed His truth to man. This is how God has given to man the Scriptures. Through prophesying, through dreams, and through visions. You read through the Old Testament. You see how individuals received the Word of God by a divine vision, or a divine dream. Or they were filled with the Spirit of God and they prophesied. See, these are all methods by which God has revealed His truth to men. Therefore, the reason why God's Spirit was poured out in the most wonderful way at the commencement of the last days was because God wanted now the truth of the gospel to be revealed and declared to all men and all women. God poured out His Spirit so the glorious truth of salvation might be proclaimed in a wider and broader sense, proclaimed throughout all the world. And this is why God poured out His Spirit at the very commencement of the last days upon His people, so the truth of the gospel, the truth of God's word, would go out and increase. And people would hear the life-changing message of salvation. We should note the main reason, the main and primary reason why God's Spirit came upon certain people in Scripture was always for the revelation of truth. Think of the Old Testament prophets. Read of them and how the Spirit of God came upon them and they prophesied. Why? So that they could bring the truth to the people of their times. Think of John the Baptist. He was a man filled with the Spirit of God from his mother's womb, and yet he was the great preacher, bringing truth to the people in his day. Even think of Christ Himself, after the Holy Spirit came upon Him at His baptism. And then He commenced His public ministry. And He went about preaching in every town and village. And in Acts 2, read of the Holy Spirit coming upon the apostles on the day of Pentecost. And what did they immediately do? What did these men immediately do as the Holy Spirit was poured upon them in a most powerful manner? Well, they went out and they preached. They preached the gospel. And they were accused of turning the world upside down. This then was the reason God poured out His Spirit at the commencement of the last days. For the revelation and proclamation of truth. So the light of the truth would shine out into all the world. This is why. Why God poured out His Spirit and power at the commencement of the last days. Now we witness in this the great love of God towards man. And that's what we witness here. God's great love revealing truth to man. God in love not only gave His Son for man's salvation. And we know that truth well. God sent Christ into this world to live for us, to die for us, to purchase for us eternal life. Blessed truth, the central truth of the gospel. Christ's coming into this world to provide for us. But God has not only sent His Son into this world for our salvation, He's also sent His Spirit into this world for our salvation, to reveal to men the truth of the gospel. And that's an act of great love as well. God sending His Spirit into this world to liberate men from the darkness of their mind and the darkness of their souls, and to bring to them the saving truth of God's salvation. You may think tonight, how has God, by His Spirit, revealed truth to me? How has He revealed truth to me? Well, He's given to us the Scriptures. He's given to us the Word of God. And we should never forget the Scriptures are the work of God's Spirit. The Scriptures of truth, the Bible that you hold in your knee, is the work, the handiwork of God's Spirit. 2 Peter 1 and 21 tells us, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's why we have a Bible tonight. Because holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God by a Spirit has revealed truth to man. Therefore man in sin is without excuse. He is completely without excuse. Because God, at the very commencement of the last days, poured out His Spirit, revealing truth to man. And here we have the truth of the gospel in the Word of God, the way of salvation, clearly and plainly set forth. Therefore, we're without excuse. Because God has given to us the revelation of His truth in the Scriptures. And so we see here the reason for the outpouring of God's Spirit. It was to reveal truth. To reveal the Word of God. But also as we think about the Spirit of God being poured out at the commencement of the last days, we should note the result of the outpouring of God's Spirit. The result of this. We read of this in the book of Acts. Let's again turn back to that passage in Acts chapter 2. Notice what it says in verse 37 here in Acts chapter 2. The Spirit of God came upon the apostles. They preached. That's why the Spirit of God was poured upon them, as they've just thought, so that they could preach the truth. Peter has preached the truth here. What's the result of this? Verse 37 tells us, that when they heard this, that is Peter's preaching, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, unto the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Here we read of the Spirit of God bringing conviction of sin. This is the result of the Spirit of God being poured out. It brought conviction of sin in regard to these men. And remember who these men are that were pricked in their hearts. These are the very men that stood around at Christ's trial and cried, let him be crucified. These were the men that jeered and encouraged Pilate to condemn Christ. And now these men are pricked in their hearts. Why? Because the Spirit of God came upon them. The Spirit of God is poured out. And so the Spirit of God brings conviction of sin. Then see what it says in verse 41. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Here we read of the Spirit of God bringing conversion from sin. Not only conviction, but also conversion. Thousands of people here converted. 3,000 souls brought to faith in Christ. This then is the result of God's Spirit being poured out at the commencement of the last days. It brought conviction of sin and it brought conversion from sin. That's what happens when God pours out His Spirit. That's the result of it. Now what this teaches us is our utter dependence on the help of the Spirit of God. It really does teach us this. In these last days, we need to seek to know the power of God's Spirit. We need to seek for the power of God's Spirit in our lives, in our homes, and in the church. We see this at the very commencement of the last days. As the Spirit of God was poured out at Pentecost, at the commencement of the last days, people were converted. People were changed. Their lives were turned around. There was conviction of sin. There was conversion from sin. This happened at the commencement of the last days to teach us that as we live through these last days, what do we need? What do we desperately need as individuals? What do we desperately need as a church? To know the power of God's Spirit. Power of God's Spirit upon us. The commencement of the last days, as the Spirit of God came upon God's people, the circumstances of the church and of God's work were completely transformed. And we should note this here carefully, very carefully, because we are living in days where we need to see the work of God transformed. Before the Spirit of God came upon the church, at the commencement of the last days, the church was but a handful of people. A handful of people that were despised, that were mocked, that were ridiculed. In fact, many believed that because Christ was crucified, those that followed him would just peter out, and this sacked as they thought it would, what thought it was just, it would just vanish away into the background. But what changed it? The Spirit of God came down. And things were transformed in a moment of time. Daily there were added unto the church such as should be saved. This then very powerfully demonstrates what the church continually needs in the last days. What she needs if she is to be a force in a wicked and sinful world. If she is to grow and to prosper and to reach the lost, she needs to know the power of God's Spirit upon her, working within her. This is what made all the difference in the days of the apostles, and this is still what will make all the difference in the church. The pouring out of God's Spirit upon our hearts and upon our lives. Let us then earnestly seek after this. Seek to know the power of God's Spirit working in our lives as individuals, but also in the church collectively. Oh, and God encourages us in his word to pray to this end. Remember again the words in Luke 11 verse 13. Christ says, "If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" This is his promise. You want to see days of change and transformation in the church? Then let's pray to this end. Let's collectively come together and earnestly cry unto God. Let's tarry in Jerusalem until we are endued with power from on high. And then we will see change. And then we will see transformation. Oh, the very commencement of the last days teaches the church this, so that as we live through the last days, we will always remember this. That our strength and our power solely depends on the power of God's Spirit in our lives and working amongst us. And so we have here the commencement of the last days. Joel points to this first of all. But then the second thing he points to here is the conclusion of the last days. And this is referred to in the words of verse 30, verses 30 and 31 here in Joel chapter 2. See what it says there. "And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come." At the end of verse 31, it speaks of the great and the terrible day of the Lord. Of course, we must ask, what is this day referred to here? What is the great and the terrible day of the Lord that Joel speaks about here? Well, we again find the answer to this in the New Testament. Listen to what Peter says in 2 Peter 3 and 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. What we learn here is the day of the Lord is a term which refers to that day when Christ shall return to this world to judge it. That's the day of the Lord in Scripture. The day of the Lord is the day when Christ again will return to this world to call men to account. The great and the terrible day of the Lord is that time which is described in 2 Thessalonians 1 verses 7 and 8 in this way. "The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." What Joel is then speaking of here in verses 30 and 31 is the conclusion of the last days. The last days commence with the pouring out of God's Spirit upon his people at the day of Pentecost. That's how they commenced. But they will conclude, the last days will conclude with that great and terrible day when the Lord again returns to judge in righteousness the peoples of this world. Now, as Joel speaks in these verses of how the last days will conclude, the great and the terrible day of the Lord, there are two things we should note here. In the first place, we are told of the approaching of this day, the approaching of it. This is what is brought before us in verse 30 and in the first half of verse 31. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. As the final day, the day of the Lord, approaches, we are told here that there will be great change and chaos in the natural world. These are actually frightening words here. Think of them. Wonders in the heavens and the earth. Blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. This is speaking about change and chaos in the natural world. The Lord Jesus referred to this as he spoke to his disciples. And this is what he said to them in Luke 21, verses 10 and 11. Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, or in many places, and famines, and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Again, these words are really dreadful words. And they speak about change and chaos and calamities in the natural world. Before the day of the Lord, this world will see great and dramatic events. Spectacular upheaval will take place. There will be social change. There will be economic change. And there will be environmental change. And that is exactly the thought that is brought out here. I do not know exactly what God means as he says here, I will show wonders in heaven, in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into light, and the moon into blood. I don't know exactly what he means, and the truth of the matter is no one does. There's many people and they tried to give an explanation here, but we don't know. All we do know is this. These words speak about coming chaos. A world that will see great upheaval and dramatic change. However, as I hear of scientists and those that observe nature very closely speaking of how the world is changing, I believe they are reading in nature the things God has revealed in this word, in his own truth. They are reading in nature the very things that God has revealed. Indeed, we should not be surprised as we see change, social change, environmental change in our fallen world. For God tells us in Isaiah 51 verse 6, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke and the earth shall wax old like a garment. This is what God tells us. He says, look up, look at the heavens and look to the earth. You're going to see change in this place. You're going to see it waxing old and decaying, falling apart. And this is what scientists are now telling us. But yet the word of God told us this years ago. God's words told us this 3,000 years ago. Not new for us. Not new at all. And so this is what's going to happen. And is this not happening even today? We see these things happen today. Think of the social change that has happened today. Marriage is no longer marriage as it has been for all the period of time before. Think of the last year and a half we've lived through. All of this change. Upheaval. Life as we know it or knew it has been changed and altered. And these things are happening all around us. Pestilence. And trouble. And conflict. And we have all of these different groups with their different agendas, Black Lives Matter, and all of these things. And they're all pushing anti-God and anti-Christian agendas. And Christ has said, this is going to happen. And these things are teaching us. They're reminding us that the day of the Lord is approaching. It's coming. And this is what we should observe as God's people. When these things are taking place, it should always remind us the day of the Lord's coming. It's coming. All of this change. All of this chaos and confusion and lawlessness. The day of the Lord's coming. But notice also here, not only the approaching of this day, the day of the Lord, but the awesomeness of this day. See in verse 31 how the day of the Lord is described. How this day itself is described. It is described as great and terrible. Before the great and the terrible day of the Lord. This is telling us that this day will be one which will be awesome in every sense. A day of awe. A day of wonder. For Christ's people, it will be a great day. For this will be the day when they enter into the full blessing of their salvation. And they will hear those most blessed and wonderful words. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What a great and glorious day that will be for the saints of God. The day of the Lord. Oh, it will be the day we've been waiting for. We've waited for our whole lifetime. The day of the Lord. Our Redeemer's coming. And though we live in a world of pain and torment and trouble and grief, yet the King is coming for us. The victor, the captain of our salvation, he's coming for us. And what a great day that will be. What a day that will be. Ah, but for those who have rejected Christ, this day, the day of the Lord will be in every sense a terrible day. A terrible day. They will hear the most dreadful words ever to fall from the lips of the Savior. Depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. How unimaginable, how unimaginably terrible will this day be for those who are still found in their sin. A most terrible day. A day where they will meet with Christ coming to avenge his enemies and to destroy those who have resisted him and rejected him. This then is what will happen at the conclusion of the last days. Christ's people will be gathered unto himself. And those that have rejected him will be cast away in their sin. And why does Joel speak of these things? Why does Joel speak of these events, this great and this terrible day of the Lord? He speaks of these things that we will prepare. This day is approaching, it's coming near. This awesome day. The conclusion of the last day is coming. And this is brought before us in Scripture. So we will get ready for that day and be found in Christ. And so we have here the commencement of the last days. The conclusion of the last days. One last thing, notice with me here. And that is the character of the last days. We are told of this in verse 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Joel has spoken of the commencement of the last days. God's Spirit shall be poured out. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. He has described the conclusion of the last days. Christ will come and judge this world, and this is yet to come. But now he speaks of the character of the last days. These days that we're living in. These days which stretch from Pentecost to the very end of time. And what we're told here is this. These days are days of opportunity. They're days when God is graciously giving to men and women space to repent and to call upon him for salvation. That's the character of the last days. That's the nature of them. Days of opportunity. Days of salvation. This is what it means, as it says here. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call in the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the character of the last days. They're days of grace. Days of opportunity for men to seek salvation and to get right with God. We're living in days of grace as we live through the last days. Days when sinners in their sin can find Christ and be saved. And as we think of how long the last days have lasted, It reminds us how gracious God is. The last days have lasted now for some 2,000 years. And all of this reveals to us how gracious God is with men. As he stretches these days out and gives men space and time to repent and to be converted. Think of these words here. Whosoever that is any sinner, no matter who they are or what they've done, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. What is it to call in the name of the Lord? What does it mean to call in the name of the Lord? As it is spoken of here by Joel. Well, to call in the name of the Lord means to confess your need of Christ. That's the first thing. It means to confess your need of Christ. It is to own your own sinfulness. The thought is here, to call on the name of the Lord that he might save you out of your sin and misery. And so to call on the name of the Lord means to confess your own need of Christ. It means to place your confidence in Christ. Because those that are calling upon Christ are putting their trust in him. They're saying, you're the Savior. You're the only one that can deliver and deliver me from my sin. Therefore, I'm calling upon you. Calling in the name of the Lord means to confess your need of Christ. It means to place your confidence in Christ. And then it means to come to Christ. To seek him as your own and personal Savior. And to claim him for yourself. That's the thought here. These people are calling on the name of the Lord to save them. And to rescue them. And to deliver them. This is the character of the last days. People are being given opportunity to call on the name of the Lord. And the promise is, those that call upon the name of the Lord, those that confess their need as sinners, that place their confidence in Christ and come to him for salvation, they will be delivered or they will be saved. What days the last days are? They are days of great grace where God has been long-suffering and patient with men and women, giving to them time, and given to them space to repent and be converted. Therefore, in these last days, and remember, we are living in the last days. In these last days, the exhortation of Christ in Scripture is this. Call in the name of the Lord. Call in his name as a sinner. And if you do, he promises to save you. He promises to bring you into his family and fold and to give you a home in heaven. I trust and pray that this is what each one here will do in these last days. That we will avail of the opportunity that is ours. Call in the name of the Lord and be delivered and be saved in these last days. May God be pleased to bless his truth to our hearts this evening for his own name's sake. Amen and amen.